أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today in our journey through the Quran, we want to look at chapter number 113, which is Surah Al-Falaq. Now, one of the interesting things is chapter 113 and 114 of the Quran begin with this phrase "Kul A'udhu," which is the word of Allah, the speech of Allah to the Prophet to declare something to humanity, to the people. And in these two verses, Allah is telling the Prophet to say that he seeks refuge in certain things, in some things. And so therefore, our scholars of the Quran have termed verses, or rather Surah 113, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah 114, Surah Al-Nas, as the Mu'awwidhatayn, that is the two chapters that begin with this phrase, A'udhu. And in this discussion, we'll see what the Prophet is seeking refuge in. But just to understand that this is a common name given to these two verses, these two chapters rather, of the Holy Quran, because of the Prophet seeking refuge in Allah from certain things. Some of the general details of this chapter of the Quran are as follows. The commentators of the Quran mention that this chapter was revealed in Mecca, that this chapter has five verses to it, and that the Prophet, and as an extension obviously, the Muslims were advised to seek refuge in Allah, in God, from all forms of evil. And some of these forms of evil, of wickedness, of things that can haunt and trouble us, are mentioned in this chapter of the Quran. As we know that all of the chapters of the Quran that are revealed to the Prophet, they have benefits of recitation, both this world and the otherworldly benefits. And Surah Al-Falaq is no exception to this rule. And therefore, in the traditions, we read the following of the benefits of its recitation. Imam Al-Baqir, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, has said that the one who recites Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Nas, and Surah Ikhlas in their witr prayers of the Salatul Layl will be addressed and told, O servant of God, be advised that God has accepted your witr prayers. This is one of the traditions that we have that we would like to mention today in terms of the benefits of the recitation, that this chapter along with chapter number 114, Surah Nas, and also chapter 112, Surah Al-Ikhlas, are three of the chapters which have been recommended to recite in the Salatul Layl, in the night prayer. And as the Imam has said, that if one is to recite these three verses, that God will address the individual, obviously in a metaphysical realm, that our prayers have been accepted by God. And so therefore we see the importance of the recitation of this chapter. And obviously it goes without saying that the recitation is only complete, so to speak, when we understand the content of the verses and that we try to implement and live the content of these sorts of chapters, of all of the chapters of the Quran, really, within our lives on a day-to-day basis. Before we go forth to understand the exegesis, the commentary of this chapter of the Quran, let us take a pause and listen to the Arabic recitation followed by the English translation of this surah of the Quran.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد.
In the name of God, the Gracious, the Merciful, say, I take refuge with the Lord of daybreak, from the evil of what he has created, and from the evil of the darkness as it gathers, and from the evil of those who practice sorcery, and from the evil of an envious when he envies. We see in this chapter that there are four specific things that we are seeking refuge in Allah from, things which are in existence, things which he has created, but things which are not conducive to a believer, that could cause harm or detriment to an individual. And in the beginning of the first verse, as we see, we seek refuge in the Lord of daybreak. So we are addressing Allah as the Rabbul Falak, the one who splits open the day. Now, scholars have a few different interpretations of what this verse means. Let us reflect on these as we proceed through in this chapter. Some of the meanings of Al-Falaq are that, first of all, literally it means to split open or break apart, like the daylight splitting the night. Daybreak is also the same, is the word used in the Quran and in Islamic literature. The word Fajr is also used. Also, this word can be used in terms of creation, as creations which are split from their original state when they come into this world, like, for example, a seed. We have an example in the Quran in chapter number 6, verse number 95, where Allah says, "It is Allah who causes the seed grain and the date stone to split and sprout. He causes the living to come forth from the dead, and He is the one to cause the dead to come forth from the living. That is Allah. Then how are you deluded away from the truth?" And the third meaning is also creation, and then in that every living thing which is brought into existence. So we see that there are multiple meanings for this word falak, the creation or the splitting forth of a seed to bring forth life. But ultimately what we are asking for is refuge. We are seeking protection in this Lord who is the one who splits open the seed, who gives life, who brings forth the creation. In the second verse, we see the first item that we are asking refuge in Allah from, in the Lord from, and that is from the evil of what He has created. Now, one of the things that we have to understand, and we don't want to go into too much depth here today in these discussions, is that it is not evil which God has created. He obviously has created nothing but good, but it is those things which we sometimes look at as being evil, or things which turn themselves into being evil. People, for example, are not born wicked. People are not born as mass murderers or killers. But rather, it is their lifestyle that they choose, things that they do in their life, which make them as evil individuals, as wicked people who are performing wicked actions. And even when we look at the animal kingdom, yes, the snake, which can bite us and kill us, is evil. But that is evil to us. That is a form of protection that they have been given to safeguard themselves and their offspring. So we do not deem them to be evil in and of themselves intrinsically, but rather that these are traits which they have for their own protection, their own safety, their own survival. But here in this verse, we ask Allah for protection. We ask and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of those things which are in existence. In verse number 3, we then seek refuge in our Lord from the darkness, the evil of the darkness as it gathers. Now, in most cases, the night time is the best time for evil to proliferate. We see that, for example, if somebody wants to rob a house, to rob a grocery store, to rob a convenience store, to do some kind of mischief, that they would most normally, not always, but most normally would choose the night time. The stores are closed, for example, maybe security is not there. Obviously, in the daytime, stores are open, things are happening, things are busy. So, a thief would not always want to commit a theft in broad daylight. Although, again, there are exceptions to the rule. But more often than not, we see that theft, break-in entries into homes and such things, into cars, are done at nighttime. So there is this overwhelming understanding that at night is when evil has a better chance to spread its evil wings, to be able to commit acts such as theft and killing and so on and so forth. And so we seek refuge in our Lord from the nighttime and the covering of the night and the possibility of evil being spread out and crimes being committed at that time of the life of a believer. The fourth verse of Surah Al-Falaq is one in which we seek refuge in Allah, in our Lord, from those who practice sorcery. Now, this verse has multiple meanings and discussions have been given by the scholars of the Quran. We just want to mention a few of them here today to see what the scholars give as a general understanding of what this sorcery is, or what this evil is that we are seeking refuge in our Lord from. And we see the following three understandings. One is that the meaning of this verse is in regards to what magic, witchcraft, etc., which are realities. Many people don't believe in sorcery, in witchcraft, in the ability to call the Satans, to call the unseen realm. But Islam shows us that this is indeed a reality, that there are individuals who can practice these forms of witchcraft, of black magic, that can affect a human being. And so one of the understandings is that we seek refuge in such individuals. We seek refuge in Allah from such individuals. The second meaning of this verse are those women who use their femininity, who use their body, their physique, to mislead and entrap men. Now, obviously, this verse is not saying that all women are like this or that every single woman would use such plots and plans, but rather one of the commentaries that we have been given by our scholars based upon traditions is that this can be one of the understandings, one of the interpretations of this evil that we are seeking refuge with Allah in. And again, this does not mean that every single woman is of this nature, but rather that this is one of the realities of society and of communal life that we have to be aware of. The third and the final meaning of this verse are those individuals who are engaging in satanic whisperings, what we call waswas, and in which they try to cast doubts and confusion in the minds of the people. So they may try to make their foundational beliefs in the religion shaky. They may try to put doubts into their practical application of the religion. Whatever the case may be, this interpretation tells us that there are people out there today who want to confuse and mislead the people, and that this evil is something which has to be confronted by seeking refuge and protection in the Lord of the daybreak, as we read in the very first verse of this particular chapter. The fifth and the final verse of this chapter of the Quran, and the fourth thing in which we seek refuge in our Lord from, is the evil of the jealous one when he begins to have his envy and jealousy. Now, this is obviously one of the akhlaqi, the moral discussions, traits that Islam has spoken about in many verses of the Quran, and that there are many traditions of the Prophet and his infallible family members that speak about the evils of jealousy, of having envy against other people. We just want to mention a few of the traditions that come to us from the family of the Prophet, where they speak about hasad, about jealousy, and how evil it is, and how much of a spiritual detrimental effect it can have on the heart of a believer. And we read the following traditions. The sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said that indeed jealousy consumes faith just as fire consumes wood. This beautiful analogy given by the sixth Imam shows us the power that jealousy has, that it can destroy a person's iman, a person's faith, conviction in religion, just as quickly as fire can engulf wood. And we see that jealousy is not just a trait that somebody has, but it burns inside of him or her. And sometimes it is very well possible that jealousy may push a person to committing many other acts of iniquity, of sins against his fellow human beings. A person may be jealous that somebody has a fancy car, a beautiful home, a person who has wealth. And a person who shows jealousy, who is envious at such an individual, may not only stop at the envy he or she feels inside, but they may go towards committing sins. They may go to committing theft. They may try to gain wealth through illicit means to get what other people have. So jealousy is not just something which can burn a person from within. It has the potential to actually destroy a person's faith in religion. And a person could actually end up breaking many of the rules of Islam, the rules of society, in a quest to quench his thirst for what other people have because of his jealous nature. We end off with a tradition from the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, in which he tells us that the jealous one shall never prosper. And again, this is a reality. When we look even around us at the world today, we see people who have jealousy, who have these tendencies of seeing what other people have, whether it be material or spiritual, and rather than them working hard on their own to achieve that status, to achieve what others have, they try to take a shortcut. And they realize, unfortunately, ultimately, that shortcuts do not work in life. And they end up not prospering and moving forward in life because of the fact that they have not gone through the proper channels to attain what they see other people have. And so we close this review of chapter 113 of the Quran, Surah Al-Falaq, And we remind ourselves to always seek refuge in Allah, in God, in the Creator, from all of the evil things which are around us, things that have an impact on us, and things that may have the ability to sway us away from the teachings of the religion of Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.